Hello and welcome to what I hope is a significant podcast for you. In this podcast, I'm going to sort of solve a problem of podcasting for me and for you and direct you to a new window of accessing podcasts. Now, just to give you an idea, I've been churning through different research areas, philosophy, educational issues, HSC exams, a few excursions into the depths of the intricacies of various elements. And I've put this in chronological order, or I have to put it in chronological order, in a feed, which some of you have probably picked up on or subscribed to, and on iTunes. And it's got a chronological order to it. So as I work on get different amount of time to work on different areas, it comes out, and it's rather scrambled, so to speak. And I think people take a lot of care to create different podcasts in different areas and to signpost and direct the readers into with a brief description of where things go. But when it comes to podcasting exams, or podcasting other areas which are obviously structured, you really need the ability to work out where you want to go next, and where you want to go next is actually not trawl through an iTunes list or a feed burner list, and just pick and choose. You want a more structured version, and so what I will introduce to you in this podcast is a brand new idea coming from the wealth and power of quantum mechanics and of apps, and this is a structured, live app, mobile phone app or web app that you can access, and you can then use it to navigate around and play structured podcasts, short structured podcasts. So in this case, the web app that I'm going to aim you to, you'll be able to press on the long answer section on a particular question down a list of icons there, and it will play the podcast for it. Next to it will be other assets. Now, before we go too much further, I'll tell you the URL for this, and I'll just tell you the root directory URL, and the URL for this is lessonpeer.com. So I'll spell that lessonpeer.com. I think Americans don't like the word double, so I'll spell it again. lessonpeer.com / capital P, capital H, capital S. Now, that's lessonpeer.com, PHS, and that's just the name of a web directory, and that will take you to a web directory of all these websites. Now, these websites are different, they cover different areas, and in an unusual way, I can say definitely not seen before on the internet. So, if you get there and then press HSC Physics 2017, you'll be able to go through. Or you could also press, I think it's called Mr. Right. Welcome to a new world. Because what you'll do when you press one of these is on your computer screen, you'll see what looks like the gallery of a mobile phone with all these little apps appearing, these little squares which you press traditionally to launch an app, and these launch little micro apps, and unlike anything you've seen before, the actual structure of your gallery actually tells you a story. So this is again, if I can get to it, really based really on using quantum mechanics and creating sort of a mini structured internet within a website. and it's there's a lot to it. So if you just go on and start pressing these buttons, you might be able to work it out for yourself, but I'll give you a certain guide. Now, this actually links a lot of ideas together. So just get back to us. The main aim is to have a structure which is a little bit more intellectual than just a directory or a feed or a pile of websites similar to iTunes. This is a bit more like having a structured notebook appear on your in the web or your mobile phone, and people can just slot in pages or information into your logbook. Or if you imagine a calendar, you can put in information into the relative day, or you can put, in this case, information into the relative website. Now, as said, the actual gallery is actually a new language of itself. And the language is based on, as you move down and through the gallery, you create something called a conversation. And the conversation is based on sort of basic, I suppose, theology, philosophy of a dialogue, similar to what Plato or Socrates had. The person would ask a question and the philosopher would give an answer, to which someone would ask another question and so forth, and you'd have a dialogue going back and forth for questions and answers, and possibly comments, but in this case questions and answers, which go on and on. Now, to handle this, the complexity of this, you start off with the top question, and all questions, all things which require an answer, are in red. So all the icons which are red or pinkish are questions, and all things which are answers are green. And you start off in the top left-hand corner, having your seed question, your very first question, which opens up your dialogue. And for that question, you can have an answer beneath it, and that answer will be in green. In fact, you can have two answers, three answers, as many answers as you like going beneath this. So for that first question, you have a series of answers going underneath it, and you can select which answer is of interest to you, press on it, and the web app will navigate to a new page where that is now the focus. And now you have an options now to look at that answer and select what question is relevant to that. And so you have a question, answer, and so forth as you click forward through. Now, this is a way of reading a gallery and reading information, and essentially it's broken up a dialogue, a multi-strand dialogue, onto a Cartesian surface by having the X and the Y. If you would like, it's like as powerful as the first discovery of graphs. I could express a mathematical relationship on an X and Y coordinate, and now I can express a thought in an X and Y coordinate, or a depth of thought on an X and Y coordinate as you go through. So really have a look at this going through. It's a very interesting thing. There's a simple mathematical number which I use, a new type of mathematical number, which has a few algorithms with it, which allow a computer to easily manage a huge pile of thoughts. In fact, this is for any question, it will answer everyone's answer to that question, and everyone's subsidiary question to all those answers. And very soon you get all the complexity appearing, and it's a very valuable thing. It collects all strands of thought, and there's a lot of, I suppose, powerful factors then. So of course, in an HSC exam or something like that, which you have many questions, those questions can be aligned with the question and all the information you need to answer that, including a podcast explaining a written answer. You'll also see YouTube, so you can include all any information in your little app, micro app or nano app, if you like to speak that way. I want to pause here again and just recap with you mentally what's happened here. You may have not be used to it, but in this particular podcast I'm announcing a leap forward from the idea as the internet containing regions in which data is just dumped and held together by bespoke web pages to something new. And this is a new thing which is more like the website directory rather than the web page itself. It's sort of a mix between a site map and a web page. It's a cross between it, and it has an organization, a natural order, that once you learn it for one, it goes across, similar to, like most languages, once you learn to read a simple situation one language, you now learn the method of reading it to apply it to different situations. So if you go down that list, you'll be able to see a whole series of different ideas. Now, I'm just going to go, say, in Pride and Prejudice. Pride and Prejudice is an English novel, and it said, the starting question you have there, if you go to Mr. Right, the first square, the red square which you hit, will say, what does Elizabeth Bennet, the hero or heroine of the novel, want to do? She wants to find a man, and she can do various things, various threads of major threads of ideas in the novel. And then one of the things she can do is she can look for men in the local area, and then that's an answer. Then your next question is, who are the men in the local area? And then you have a series going down from that question of all the list of the men in the local area. And as you go down, you can click and see the different pictures, and each man has a question, which Elizabeth has, which is very interesting, which decides whether she's interested in marrying that man or not. Or if she is interested in marrying the man, there are other questions that have to be resolved. You go through a series of complex questions and answers. Now, you may see the start of the quantum mechanical number at the top, which compresses, it gives you the trajectory as you go down. So to read this, read these app pages, there's two methods of doing it. One is that you can mouse over the tiles and see what the tiles say. And the tiles that you are involved in your conversation appear in bold. And you read it by going down, right, down, right, down, right. Is that right? It is down and to the right. That's right, correction. That's correct. You go down, hit a bold tile, go right, to hit another bold tile, then go down and go right. So in terms of what you're used to reading, I suppose, sentences from top to bottom, or reading from left to right on a page. Here, to scan through the large amount of information, you scan down and right, and rather than read the information in one hit and then pan back and look at it from a different angle, you have all angles, you see your answer in the nest of all other answers associated with that, and then the question to that answer you've selected, you see the question against all other questions, so you can look at what's going on. You get an overview, a contemplation. Now, this is why I've called the process All Things Considered. If we can mentally swap and go to the exam, There's how do I study? I look at the exam, I look at the multiple choice, I look at the long answers across their questions. You know, what are the long answers? And the question is long answers is you've got the series of 10 long answers to address that are given at the HSC exam in that section. And as you click down, at the moment, any one with a line underneath the letter. So let's stop again. What I've used here to have as an aid memoir as you're going down the tiles is two letters to clue the reader or use the reader's short-term memory as to what the very complex answers are. And this is using the two, and I've used up to three letters version of the periodic table. So if you see K in the periodic table, you know that means potassium, or Cl, that's chlorine. And here you get the two letters which nominate and allow you to read like the quantum, like the periodic table very, very quickly through elements and scan through rather than looking at the long words. So one of the things I should say is that I've used heaps of, I've sort of grabbed the periodic table, I've grabbed maths, I've grabbed philosophy, I've put it all together, and I've also grabbed podcasts. Now, one of the things is that if a tile has a podcast or a website over it, and you click on it, and once you click on it, it becomes the main tile, its outer edge, I think, becomes golden. So you have a dark one if it's in the thread of thought, and it becomes golden if it's the focus. If you press it and it's got a line underneath its symbols, you press it a second time, it will start to play the podcast. In this case, for this exam, I've labored through, I've only answered question 22 and 25. If you press on those, you'll get to it. Now, and so if you press question 2 or 23, it will start to play a second time, it will start to play. And then the tiles off to the right are questions or more information about it, and it will actually display the actual text of the question, the marking scheme of the question. In some cases, it will start to say, I think in question 25, it will go across and you'll start to see YouTubes all for it. And this is all in a compact form that you've never seen before, I hope. At least I get some readers who are interested in it. Now, there is obviously a literacy bridge between it, what can be done is that there's a large expanded right tile of your individual tile with the actual conversation leading up to that tile embedded in that tile. And if you read on this right-hand tile, the script, you'll see, will say question one is this, the third answer is this to that first question. And as you read through it, it's actually and I have to work on it a bit more, making sure that I get the input correct, it reads as a conversation of questions and answers. Now a little bit further in, you can actually click on the actual text, and the text will unfold and produce, if I've done it, some more explanatory text. So you may not follow it, you can follow it and go through, and there's, you can keep on unfolding it there, that way to really get into it. And so for each of those tiles that you focus on, it then constructs the expanded conversation to that tile. This is, I suppose, very advanced. I'm trying to launch it in this podcast. Now, one of the things that I have to put forward about this is that I have an app which I've developed. I'm a robotic scientist, I'm used to using LabVIEW to actually take data from machines and publish it to different files and activate robots to do things on certain conditions. So in this case, I've got basically, essentially, a robot reading your screen of this application. It reads through screen of the application, and rather than it does save it continuously as a file, updates the series of files or the nano apps. It keeps on writing nano app upon nano app as you type through it and construct the screen. But what it does as well is build those nano apps into a web app and publishes the web app as you go. And so if you can think of it, it's as simple but a bit more powerful than a word processor. But rather than putting out a printable document that you can print or send and edit, it does that as well, but it also publishes an app which appears instantly on everyone's mobile phone. Now, at this point, I should say a advantage of this is that there's a sort of sitemap app view of your data, but if you press the left less than symbol right up near the name of the app, it will take you to a traditional web page view of the information, where you can actually surf and find the information through a different port. And this is important because if you still have work to do, it can pull down anything that any point in which there's a question but yet not an answer, so there's work to do in that area. Or if someone has provided an answer and the answer is in the form of a promise, they can put their name to that promise, and that promise will come out as a heart symbol on the web app, and also record it as promises, a series of promises and contingencies that must happen for your solution to happen. But also, you can actually search by picture media, YouTube media, and also do another thing, which is a pretty powerful thing, is that you've done all this work and you can press the book button, and it produces, when you press the book button, it produces a electronic PDF book, but also a printable PDF book. And the reason it can produce a book is because the nano apps are structured in a logical way and put together in a logical way that it automatically lends itself to printing it as a contract or a book. Now, so just to summarise, so far at this point, we have I've had the general problem of beginning to podcast, and as I podcast, all the podcasts are going everywhere. Unfortunately, they're going in a big pile. There's some interesting, some aren't interesting, but I have this generic problem of I want to podcast and actually build an object on the internet. It's sort of a structure, a book of podcasts, and I've said, I've looked at iTunes, I looked at Feedburners, and looked at the solutions. I said, oh no, but I do have this thing I've developed from quantum mechanics, which allows me to transcend all of this, and answers the basic question of, I suppose, more or less random ideas, structuring random ideas into an internet usable force. It's a mobile phone force. So once you have this link, you can really honestly travel anywhere with that link and add to it. I want to add something a bit more powerful to it. You have a robot which is monitoring an application front screen, reading it and intelligently going through and churning through HTML or whatever is required to produce it. So it produces combinations of bits of HTML, style sheets, CSS, and is in fact capable of writing in any language. So the actual robot, I just give it instructions to write in any language. So I give it instructions to send off FTPs, write HTML, but it could write PHP, it could write anything. And one person asked me, well, what is the base language? And I said, well, it's actually above a base language, because any language you ask, anything you want to do, I can actually get the robot to do. It can either access through ActiveX into different areas. It can do kernel and DOS commands to basically get through and do anything. And it does, in actual fact, use DOS commands to create the assets which are required to be sent up to the internet to create a complete working website. So just to give you an idea, you can get some 200, 300 nano apps of information. It takes about 5 to 10 seconds to do a 300-page website. And then at the moment with my crawling internet, it takes probably about 5 minutes to update a 500-page website. Now, I can obviously massively improve this, but there's really no need to it. But I want to close at this stage. I'll do a closing thought, and then I'll do a summary yet again for you of where we're at. One of the things that you can do is that the robot doesn't have to look at your front panel. It can actually start reading emails and tweets, and read tweets and actually use the tweets to actually construct a live web app as you go along. And so this is sort of breaking the boundary now that you have a robot producing an app. It doesn't have to actually take its source from one author. It can actually take its source from multiple authors and make decisions on it. And I think one of the things you can do is go back. I do have a few documentaries on me producing different marvellous robots, talking robots, interacting robots, to base it on. And again, a lot of the interaction I have developed is, when you peel it right back, is some basic new maths, and in this case it's some basic new maths. So to summarise on that last thought, is that not only do you have a seamless barrier from typing to web app instantly around the world, you have not only the barrier of one author, there can be multiple authors, and it can stitch the information, and it does stitch the information from many people across. Now, the web app itself can have some more features added onto it. It has the conversation, but when the conversation passes through a promise, it can actually place a heart on it and SMS you when you break a promise. So if you have your answers relying on, or your questions and answers relating on someone's promise, and that person breaks a promise, the computer can detect the promise is broken, or it can actually start to question and identify the promise is broken, and alert everyone downstream by SMS the moment that a promise is broken. Now, there's two aspects of this. This, I think, dramatically changes political life, but it also changes social life. So you can imagine there is a group of people. There's groups of people who are really promise dependent. You know, they want to get going, and they have to make an investment and trust people. So this is a really, really important thing to go. So just in summary again, just to summarise again, I've started this podcast on how are we going to change the face of podcasting. And the podcasting itself, there's new technologies which I'll introduce to podcasts, but this is the bookbinding of a podcast. It's actually converting, if you like, the podcast halfway between the old idea of podcasts just in a pile, in a basket, a box full of podcasts, and people have to scramble through it, to actually now the concept of a book, a live book, and as you go through the book, you can actually press on podcasts relevant to you, and you not only press on it, you can actually press on internet resources associated with it. And in such a way that it really covers quite philosophically every aspect of a problem. And I think I'll have to give a podcast on how you actually break apart a promise, break about a problem really thoroughly. There's philosophers and people have really thought about what are the aspects, or definitely system analysts and system designers. There's no point in half defining a problem, setting it up, and then in the field you've got your battleship or computer or system, and a new situation occurs which it can't adapt to. So there's some information there, but that all that wisdom is actually can be put into if you like, a crystal of nano apps brought into a larger web app, which you can navigate through. And as you navigate through, you get different conversations happening. It's hard to imagine, and hopefully there's some people out there who will look at it. And if you look at it, please contact me. I'll give you some more aspects. I might even give you the small application engine I've written, which actually reads your screen and constructs and publishes a web, publishes to the web as you go. So bye for now, and thanks for listening. And as I sign off, as Peter explains, in the meantime, keep on doing science.